At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Good morning, and welcome to AI Unraveled, your daily strategic briefing on the business impact of artificial intelligence. It is Wednesday, December 17th, 2025. If you thought the big checkbooks were closed for the year, think again. Reports are swirling that Amazon is in talks to deploy a massive $10 billion investment into OpenAI. If this goes through, it could fundamentally alter the relationship between Sam Altman and Microsoft. But it's not just about the money, it's about the speed. Google has officially launched Gemini 3 Flash, pushing the boundaries of latency, while simultaneously testing a new agent called CC that lives inside your Gmail and calendar to act as your personal chief of staff. And for the builders listening, we have a reality check. A new joint study from Google and MIT is pouring some cold water on the hype around multi-agent systems, highlighting significant pitfalls, just as Databricks raises $4 billion to double down on that exact technology. From ChatGPT images countering Nano Banana Pro to the US government launching a tech force to recruit talent, we have a packed rundown. Let's unravel the headlines.
Welcome to the deep dive. You gave us a complex, overwhelming stack of source material, and it paints a picture of, well, December 2025, where AI is just moving at lightning speed. But at the same time, it seems to be running into these huge physical and technical roadblocks. So our mission today is to cut through that noise, pull out the crucial nuggets, and get you informed.
That really is the core theme of everything we looked at. It's this moment of peak contradiction. You've got these colossal capital investments on one side, truly dizzying numbers.
Right.
And on the other, the technical ambition is just running headlong into some very harsh reality checks. And maybe most importantly, the societal and physical demands of all this tech are creating immediate powerful pushback.
It really feels like the industry is being forced to pivot on, what, three different fronts at once? Financial, technical, and political?
Exactly.
So for this deep dive, we're going to unpack these three key tension points for you. We'll start with the money, the capital wars, and what a couple of giant deals tell us. Then we pivot to the data and this agent reality check developers are facing. And finally, we'll look at the shockwaves hitting jobs, policy, and even the hardware supply chains. Okay, let's unpack this. The scale of the money moving right now is what anchors this entire moment. We saw something like $13 billion in strategic capital either announced or reported in just 1 week.
It's incredible.
Let's start with the one that turned the most heads. Amazon's reported potential $10 billion investment in OpenAI.
This is a huge signal flare.
Yeah.
Because you have to remember the context here. For years, Amazon has been deeply invested in Anthropic,
OpenAI's biggest competitor,
their fiercest rival. So this $10 billion move, which is massive even for a cloud war, is Amazon essentially saying, we cannot afford to pick a single winner anymore.
But doesn't that sort of dilute their original bet on Anthropic? I mean, why take such a big risk on a rival when you already have a horse in the race?
It's not about picking the winner of the race. It's about making sure that Amazon Web Services, AWS, is the indispensable platform for all the winners.
Ah, so it's a hedge.
It's a shift to what they're calling model agnosticism. They have to. The sources show OpenAI just signed a staggering contract to buy $38 billion of capacity from AWS.
$38 billion.
So that $10 billion investment, it's a crucial defensive and offensive move all at once. They're guaranteeing they profit from the entire ecosystem's growth, no matter which model comes out on top.
So Amazon is solidifying its position as the one holding the rails while everyone else races on the track.
Very good way to put it.
And if Amazon is all about that foundational infrastructure, then Databricks is focused on the aggregation layer. They just announced a fresh $4 billion capital raise.
And this money is laser focused on one thing: powering AI agents. Mm-hmm. This moves Databricks from being, you know, a powerhouse for analytics and data warehousing,
right,
into the realm of autonomous execution. They want to be the foundation where businesses can deploy these agents while keeping their own data totally sovereign.
And the market is rewarding this strategy like crazy. That capital raise pushed Databricks' valuation to $134 billion. That's a huge 34% jump in just 3 months.
That valuation premium is the most telling part of this whole story. I mean, just look at their arch rival, Snowflake. Both companies recently hit similar annual recurring revenue, an ARR of about $4.8 billion.
Okay, so they're making similar money.
But Snowflake's market cap is sitting around $74 billion.
So the market is giving Databricks almost a $60 billion premium, a 50% higher growth multiplier, just because of this promised agent layer.
Precisely. That 34% jump isn't for past performance. It's the market banking entirely on the agent future. Investors see moving from simply reporting on data to autonomously acting on it as the key to unlocking trillions in enterprise value.
Which is why this next section is so critical. Billions are flowing into the idea of agents, but the sources show the technology is hitting some major friction in the real world. Here's where the technical reality gets really interesting.
It's the perfect contradiction, isn't it? There's a joint study from Google and MIT on what they call multi-agent systems, or MAS, and it's a huge reality check. They ran almost 200 experiments with these interconnected agents, and they found significant limitations when trying to scale complexity.
What were the biggest technical hurdles they ran into?
The primary issues are compounding error rates and the risk of infinite loops. So imagine Agent A passes a slightly flawed result to Agent B.
Okay.
Which then misinterprets it and sends an exponentially worse result to Agent C. As the network grows, these small errors just compound so rapidly you get major system failures. Or worse, the agents just get stuck arguing with each other.
And they just consume resources.
Exactly. They consume infinite resources, which really means consuming tokens.
And just to clarify for everyone listening, why is token consumption the critical cost factor here?
Because every single interaction, every thought, every piece of data an LLM processes, it costs money. That cost is measured in tokens. So when agents get stuck in one of these loops, they're just burning through thousands, maybe millions of tokens for no reason. The whole process becomes incredibly expensive and totally unreliable.
And the study showed that performance just swings wildly depending on the kind of task you give them. That seems like a nuance the hype narrative just completely ignores.
Absolutely. The structure is everything. When the task was really structured like complex financial analysis, which is fact-based, splitting the work across agents saw an impressive 81% improvement.
So they could divide and conquer.
Perfectly. But when the task needed, you know, sequential, creative, step-by-step reasoning, like the Minecraft tasks they tested.
What happened?
Performance degraded by up to 70%. I mean, that is a catastrophic failure. The researchers found that once a single agent already hits about 45% accuracy, adding more agents usually just made things worse.
So we're seeing technical diminishing returns hitting the agent dream, even with billions being poured in. This raises an important question, though.
It does.
Is the industry overhyping these complex multi-agent workflows when a really well-designed single agent might be way more cost-effective for most enterprise tasks? The data suggests optimization and specialization, not just raw scale, is the ceiling right now.
That's the perfect synthesis. That technical ceiling is forcing companies to shift strategy immediately. The money isn't just going to agents in general, it's going to highly specialized niches.
Which leads us directly into the productivity and creative arms race. Speed and specialization are the new metrics for success.
It's a race to lower the cost of intelligence. And Google is leading the charge pretty aggressively with the Gemini 3 Flash launch.
And Flash is explicitly positioned as the budget-friendly, high-efficiency leader, right?
Totally. It's optimized for high-frequency, low-latency tasks. Think rapid-fire summarizing, data extraction, or powering little chat features on hundreds of websites. And it's still really capable. It scored 81.2% on the demanding MMMU Pro multimodality benchmark.
And that benchmark is important because it specifically tests how a model handles complex tasks with multiple data types at once: text, images, audio.
That's right. And by getting high performance while prioritizing speed and cost, Flash makes it economically viable for businesses to scale hundreds of AI features. That's exactly what enterprises need right now.
Meanwhile, OpenAI immediately counterstruck in the creative space. They launched GPT Image 1.5, a massive upgrade.
And this is a highly strategic move. For months, open source models had been dominating the creative community, especially that Nano Banana Pro model.
Which is that super popular open source model known for its stylized output.
Exactly. OpenAI had to respond to stop the bleed.
And the features in 1.5 are aimed squarely at commercial production workflows. It's up to 4 times faster, the text rendering is finally reliable, and crucially, it maintains consistency across edits.
That consistency piece is a fundamental game changer. It means professional studios can actually use these tools for commercial projects. You know, you can keep a character's face or the lighting the same across multiple scenes. It's a huge shift away from just one-off image generation.
They even added a dedicated Creative Studio interface.
It's a professional takeover effort, clear as day.
But the frontier keeps moving. Black Forest Labs released FLUX 0.2 Max, which seems to target the intersection of creativity and real-time data.
That model's standout feature is generating visuals driven by live web data. So imagine if a stock market metric spikes or a celebrity tweets something.
The model can instantly generate a marketing visual based on that moment.
Yes, a new frontier in instant reactive marketing. It drastically shortens the design cycle.
We're also seeing specialized assistants for personal efficiency. Google rolled out an experimental tool called CC.
CC is basically your new executive secretary, but it's woven directly into your Gmail, your calendar, your Drive. It scans your commitments and context to send you these highly personalized your day ahead summaries.
So it's proactive.
Very. And you can just reply to it naturally to add notes or to-dos. It's a pretty frictionless assistant layer.
And on the open source front, the Allen Institute for AI, AI2, introduced MoMo2.
MoMo2 is a really significant release. It's a state-of-the-art open model specializing just in sophisticated video analysis. Video processing is often slow, closed source, or just prohibitively expensive.
And what can it do?
It can track objects across dozens of frames, count specific events, locate precise moments, and huge video archives. It's a giant leap for accessible video intelligence.
Okay, so now we shift from the software and the product launches to the real physical world that supports this boom. And here the contradictions become, well, painful. We're seeing immediate headwinds, starting with hardware.
Yeah, we have a looming AI chip shortage, but it's not just the high-end GPUs. It's also critical memory components, specifically DRAM and NAND flash. AI models just consume these things at an insane rate, far outstripping current manufacturing capacity.
And this demand is creating bottlenecks that affect way more than just data centers. Counterpoint Research is predicting a measurable drop in global smartphone shipments in 2026 because of this.
And it hits the bottom of the market the hardest. Manufacturers of budget phones, you know, the ones under $200, could see their bill of materials jump by almost 30%.
Wow.
Apple is a bit better positioned because they have these long-term supply deals locked in. But for everyone else, this is a major hit to consumer electronics. It's a tangible cost of the AI boom being passed on.
And at the same time, governments are scrambling to adapt. The U.S. government is launching this massive Tech Force initiative.
They're trying to recruit 1,000 early career AI experts to modernize federal infrastructure. And they're offering highly competitive salaries between $130,000 and $195,000.
So they're competing directly with Silicon Valley for talent.
They have to.
Yeah.
The government recognizes that without internal AI expertise, they can't regulate or even use the technology effectively.
And internationally, we're seeing policy friction immediately hit strategic investment. The U.S. actually halted a huge £31 billion tech deal with the U.K.
The sticking point was the U.K.'s 2% digital services tax, which Washington argues unfairly targets American firms. That paused agreement included billions from Microsoft and Google for vital U.K. infrastructure.
So trade policy is now directly linked to AI infrastructure growth.
They're completely intertwined.
And maybe the most acute social tension is this backlash against the physical infrastructure itself. Public sentiment has turned dramatically negative on these huge data centers, what people are calling AI factories.
The political momentum is very real. We saw Senator Bernie Sanders announce he'd push for a moratorium on data center construction to, in his words, give democracy a chance to catch up. This isn't fringe opposition anymore.
Which feeds directly into the really complicated and contradictory job picture. We looked at MIT's Iceberg Index, which is one of the more sobering data points.
They found AI is capable of replacing about 11.7% of U.S. jobs, which is $1.2 trillion in wages. But the report makes this crucial distinction.
Which is?
White-collar roles, like sales reps, technical writers, they're highly exposed to automation. But hands-on, blue-collar jobs, construction, mechanics, plumbers, are the least exposed.
Wait, so the biggest growth area in physical blue-collar jobs is literally building the infrastructure, the massive energy-hungry data centers that threatens to eliminate white-collar jobs. That's a huge paradox.
It is the deepest irony in the data we have. While white-collar jobs face this unprecedented uncertainty, construction jobs actually rose by 28,000, driven specifically by the need to build these very AI factories.
Wow.
The physical demand for data center infrastructure is creating the blue-collar jobs that the AI software promises to replace in the office. It's a self-consuming economic loop.
So what does this all mean?
It means we are in an incredibly volatile, transitional moment. It's defined by this immense technological optimism clashing with some harsh physical and political realities. Money is flowing fiercely into the dream of autonomous agents.
Right.
Yet the technical foundation is shaky. And that's demanding these immediate pivots toward specialized, optimized products like Gemini 3 Flash and GPT Image 1.5.
Right. The sources show us that the most successful companies are finding these niches. They aren't just building the biggest model. They're winning through extreme efficiency, like Flash or specialized application like Malmo 2 for video or FLUX.2 for real-time creative.
Exactly. And all the while, the physical reality is catching up with the digital ambition. The industry operates on the belief that the scaling law is king. More compute, more data equals better models.
Mm.
But public sentiment, chip shortages, political gridlock over land use.
It's all acting as a kind of gravity.
A severe, powerful gravity pushing back against the scaling law.
That structural resistance gravity pushing back against the scaling law is the conflict you need to track.
We have to seriously consider how long this intense push for AI factories, which require massive capital, land, and energy, can continue before the political and supply chain realities force a fundamental redesign of the entire AI growth strategy. The conversation is rapidly shifting from if AI will scale to how sustainably and affordably it can scale in the real world. That is the massive conflict currently brewing right at the foundation of this industry.
That wraps up your strategic briefing for December 17th. The signal for today is divergence. On one hand, you have massive capital injections, Amazon's $10 billion and Databricks' $4 billion, betting that scale and agents are the future. On the other hand, you have the researchers at MIT and Google warning that multi-agent systems are more fragile than we think. The winners in 2026 won't just be the ones with the most compute, they will be the ones who can make these agents reliable enough to actually work. A quick note on the new CC agent from Google. If you have access to the beta, test it. The battle for the AI interface is moving from the chatbot window to your email inbox. Before you go, stop marketing to the masses. Start briefing the C-suite. If you want to position your brand as the authority in this space, let's build something together. Secure your strategic podcast consultation at the link in our show notes. This podcast is created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior software engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Please subscribe and share. Until tomorrow, keep unraveling the future.